بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد Continuing from where we left off Reading from the Hadith of Jabir Ibn Abdullah رضي الله عنهما And the clarification of the times of the prayer And that he mentioned and he said Jabir Al-Ansari رضي الله عنه كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي الظهر بالهاجرة والعصر والشمس نقية والمغرب إذا وجبت والعشاء أحيانا وأحيانا وإذا رآهم اجتمعوا أجل وإذا رآهم أبطأوا أخر والصبح كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصليها بغلس He mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he used to pray the dhuhr at the time of Hajira, and we have seen that that's the earliest time after the zawal. At the earliest time of the dhuhr after the zawal, and it's called al Hajira because the people they used to leave their jobs and their work at that time because of the severe heat in the day. And also he said wal asra, and he would pray the asr was shamsu naqiyya, while the sun is still pure. Meaning that its color has not changed and is bright and the heat is very strong. والمغرب إذا وجبت And he would pray the Maghrib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever the disk of the sun would fall behind the horizon. والإشاء أحيانا وأحيانا And he would pray the Isha sometimes early and sometimes he would delay it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Jabir he mentioned radiyallahu anhu وإذا رأهم اجتمعوا أجل And if he saw the people gathering then he would hasten the prayer meaning of Al-Isha. وَإِذَا رَأَهُمْ أَبْطَأُوا أَخَّرًا If he saw that the people were delaying or not coming, not gathering in large numbers early, then he would delay the time until later, observing the situation and the affairs of those who are praying with him, صلى الله عليه وسلم, from his companions. رضي الله عنهم وَالصُّبْحُ كَانَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم يُصَلِّيهَا بِغَدَسٍ And the morning prayer, he used to pray it بِغَدَس whenever it is still extremely dark outside, although the light of the dawn has begun to appear. We have seen in our previous class some very important points with regards to identifying and determining the time of dhuhr and asr. And that this is by measuring the shadow of something or its shade. And in order to do that, one first must calculate the shadow of that thing at the time of zawal. And then also after that. So at the time of Zawal, whenever the sun reaches its peak, then there will be a portion of the shade left, and that portion must be calculated. And whenever that shade begins, and because the shade will move and move as the sun rises and gets smaller, and then it will stop whenever the sun hits its peak. And then after a moment, the sun will move, begin to the west. It will begin again moving and the shade will begin to move at that time. And at that time, the dhuhr has begun. And this is the beginning of al-hajira, the time that is referred to in this narration. In the time of dhuhr, it continues until that shade from that point, yani from that point where the shade started moving, all the way till the shade of that object becomes the same size as that object. After calculating the shade that is left, So this is important to know the shade that is left at the time of Zawal. And then calculating that, and then what is after that from that point until that shade becomes the length of that object, this is the time of Dhuhr. Once the shade has become the length of that object, after calculating the shade that remained after Zawal, at this time the Dhuhr is over and the Asr has begun. And the Asr has begun. And we have seen likewise here that both of these narrations, or both of these prayers in this narration, is clarified that he would pray them at its earliest time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كان يصلي الظهر بالهاجرة والعصر والشمس نقية And والعصر والشمس نقية والشمس نقية And while the sun is still pure, while the sun is still strong, while the sun is still in the sky high, and while the sun is still unchanged and its color is unchanged and likewise its heat is still strong and the likes like this so this is whenever he would pray the asr time sallallahu alaihi wasallam also an indication that it would be at its first at the first of its at the first of its time. There's another narration from Rafi' ibn Khadij radiyallahu anhu, that he would mention, or that he mentioned, that they used to pray, كُنَّا نُصَلِي مَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْعَصْرِ فَنَنْحَرُ جَزُورًا فَنَنْحَرُ جَزُورًا فَتُقْسَمُ عَشْرَ قِسَامٍ فَنَأْكُلُ لَحْمًا نَضِيجًا قَبْرَ أَنْ تَغْرُبَ الشَّمْسِ. Rafi' ibn Khadij radiyallahu anhu, he said that we used to pray Asr with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then after that we would slaughter a camel, and then we would cut it into 10 parts, and we would cook it and eat it while the meat is fresh. And he says, in all of this, we would do this before the sun would set. And indicating again that he would pray the Asr at its earliest time, in order for them to pray the Asr, and then after that to slaughter a camel, and to cut the camel into 10 different parts, and then after that to cook a portion of it, and while it's fresh and good, they eat it as well. All of this before the time of Maghrib comes in, before the setting of the sun. قَبْلَ أَنْ تَغْرُبَ الشَّمْسِ. And when wording in Sahih Muslim, قَبْلَ أَنْ تَغِيبَ الشَّمْسِ, and before the sun sets. So another indication, in order to perform this action, and of slaughtering a camel and chopping it into pieces and preparing it for eating and cooking it, and then after that eating it while it's fresh, the likes like this, all before the time of Maghrib, is indication that they had begun the Asr per early. So we see from this portion of the narration, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي الظهر بالهاجرة والعصر والشمس نقية. This is the portion that we have discussed so far, and what is indicated here, and in general what the author has mentioned this narration for, to clarify that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would pray these obligatory prayers at the earliest time. That he would pray these obligatory prayers at the earliest time. The dhuhr, he would pray it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at its earliest time. And likewise, al-asr. And likewise, al-asr. But whenever we mention here, and the scholars, they clarify this issue, the people of knowledge, and they say that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would pray the dhuhr at its earliest time, or the asr at its earliest time. Or like here in the hadith of Jabir, he says, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي الظهر بالهاجرة. And الهاجرة is the time whenever of the زوال, at the beginning of the time, whenever the sun moves from its peak in the sky. This doesn't mean that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to make the adhan at the very first of the time, and then after that make the aqama immediately. This is not the correct understanding. Rather, at that time of the entrance of the prayer, he would make the adhan, and then after that, he would give some time, a small amount of time, in order for the people to prepare themselves for the prayer and to come to the masjid. So he would give them, the ulama, they mentioned for any in the calculations of today, 15 to 20 minutes approximately. 15 to 20 minutes approximately, and then establish the prayer with the iqamah. So the time between the adhan and the aqama, for those who hasten to perform it at its best time, what is that understood here, is that that would be approximately 15-20 minutes, roughly in this area, and then after that the aqama is established. To leave the people long enough to pray the sunnah of dhuhr, for example, the ratiba, which is 2 or 4 rak'ah, and prefer it is better to pray 4. Four rak'ah nam, and also there is a sunnah before asr, but it's not from the rawatib. But in any case, he would give time before the iqamah in order to make wudu and pray any type of a sunnah, and also to get prepared and come to the masjid and the likes like this, and then he would establish the prayer. And this is what is understood from establishing the obligatory prayer at its earliest time. And it wouldn't be understood that the iqamah is made directly after the adhan, but rather there is a brief period of time for the people to make preparation. But in any case, it is clear that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would pray these prayers at its earliest time. So also we have seen in the previous class that the Asr, it has two times, waqtun ikhtiyari wa waqtun idtirari. So there is the time of Asr, which is the time when of a person, he has a choice, and he can pray in that time, any time in that time, and his prayer is good and accepted without sinning. And this is from the time that the Asr comes in, whenever the shade of something becomes its length, after calculating the shade of the Zawal, Fay Zawal, until some of the ulama, they mention until that shade became twice as long as the object, and others mention until the sun has started to make isfirar. And this is what is correct, and Allah knows best, but the times are very close to each other. Whenever the sun becomes yellow and it changes colors and it starts to descend and become closer to the horizon. It's not hit the horizon, but it's above the horizon, but it's on its way down and it's apparent. And likewise, the ulama have mentioned from the means to determine that time is whenever the sun is not, at this time, the sun, its light has changed and it has become yellow. And likewise, it's not so hard if one were to look at it. Whenever the sun is in the peak of the sky, if one looked at it, it would be very hard for him, would harm him. It's not advised to look at the sun in the first place. But whenever it moves down closer to the horizon, its light, it weakens. And it would not hurt any a person. He would not blind him as much and hurt his eyes. And he would not be harmed from the sunlight as much by his eyes. And it's definitely, one can tell a difference in the sun at that period. Whenever the sun has made al-isfirar, become yellow, and the lights like this at this time is what is intended. Some of the ulama, they mention it's approximately 30 minutes before the sunset, around this time. But in reality, it changes from season to season. So whoever prays the dhuhr in that time, then his prayer is correct and there's no sin upon him. But it's preferred to pray at its earliest time, and this has proceeded. As for the one who delayed the time after the isfirar, after the sun has made that move and change in its light and also in its heat, and it's moving down closer to the horizon, although it has not touched the horizon, and the time of Asr is still there, but this time is not the time for a person to choose to pray in, and he does not have the choice to pray in that time. Rather, if he delayed the Asr and he prayed it in that time with no legislated excuse or reason, then he would be sinning. If he prayed in that time with no excuse, then his prayer would be correct, but he's sinning. It's not allowed for him to delay it to that time. It's even been mentioned from Sheikh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala that it's not allowed even for the traveler to delay it on purpose to that time. And he's traveling, or the person is going to gather the prayers to delay it until that time, unless there's a reason. And if there a person has a reason, he's sick or he's traveling and then he was not able to stop because of danger or because there's no safe place to stop on the road, for example, all the way until this time, then he would pray it and he would have an excuse. But in general, even if a person is traveling, he will not just delay it whenever he can pray as he likes. Rather, he would, even if he's going to gather with Asr and Dhuhr, then he would do that before that time. He would do it before that time. He would not wait till the end of the time. And we have seen the narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is the way of the munafiqun, the hypocrites, that they would wait. They would watch the time of the asr until it goes and it goes and it goes and it gets into that period when it's close to the horizon and it's leaning closer away and it lights like this, and he would hasten to pray for rakat and he would peck them out like a bird. And this is from the way of the hypocrites. So then it's understood here that asr has two times. Waqtun ikhtiyari, the time which is the proper time, whenever a person he can choose to pray in that time anytime he likes and his prayer is correct and he's not sinning. And then after that, the time that is called is the time of darura, which is the time of necessity. And it's still allowed to pray in that time, and whoever prayed in that time, and it's allowed for the person who has an excuse, yani, to pray in that time, and his prayer will be accepted without any sin. But it's whoever does not have an excuse, it's not allowed for him to delay it to that time. And the one who prayed in that time without an excuse, this is not allowed for him, and he is sinning. The affairs of the prayer is very important, for that they are performed in the proper time. The proper time for Asr is not until the sun sets. Rather, the proper time for Asr is until before the sun sets by 30 minutes or more, and according to the season. So a believer will not delay the Asr and look at his watch and see the time. Oh, I have plenty of time. Maghrib is this time, and delay it like this, and neglecting the time of the prayer. Rather, he will hasten to pray it at its best time, seeking the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and His pleasure and His reward. At this time, whenever the sun reaches the horizon, this is the time for the Maghrib. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would pray at his first time. And this is what is mentioned here in this narration, والمغرب أي وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي المغرب إذا وجبت يعني الشمس. That the Prophet, he would pray the Maghrib prayer sallallahu alayhi wasallam whenever the sun would fall behind the horizon. Whenever the sun would fall behind the horizon. So the time for Asr in the waqt al-ittirari, it ends whenever the disk, the bottom disk of the sun, the bottom portion from the disk of the sun hits the horizon. At this time the Asr is over. For the time of necessity and the time for Asr has finished entirely. And then whenever the sun goes all the way behind the horizon, at this time the time for Maghrib has begun. And this is what is intended here. والمغرب إذا وجبت. إذا وجبت أي إذا سقطت. إذا سقطت. نعم. Whenever the sun it falls behind the horizon. And the word wajaba, the original meaning in the Arabic language, and al-ma'na al-lughawi, the linguistic meaning of wajaba, saqata, wal-wujub huwa as-suqut, as-suqut. And it's something that is considered from wajib, yani saqit, saqit, something that has fallen or is falling. And wajaba, it means saqata, linguistically, to fall. And this is also understood in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah, He mentioned, فَإِذَا وَجَبَتْ جُنُوبُهَا فَكُولُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْقَانِعَ وَالْمُعْتَرِ. That Allah, He says that whenever their sides fall, وَجَبَتْ فَإِذَا وَجَبَتْ فَإِذَا وَجَبَتْ جُنُوبُهَا. Speaking about the animals that are slaughtered in Hajj. Whenever their sides fall down. And whenever they fall on their sides, dead. But he used the word wajibat, yani meaning saqatat, to clarify the meaning of this word wajibah, which is used in the narration to clarify the falling of the sun behind the horizon. That this word wajibat, it means saqatat. Nam, then whenever they fall on their sides dead, yani the animals that are sacrificed, then you eat from them and you feed the poor, those who ask and those who do not ask. So then we see here the statement of Jabir, radiallahu anhu, wal maghriba. إذا وجبت يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يصلي المغرب إذا وجبت الشمس أي إذا سقطت. نعم إذا سقطت. نعم. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would pray the Maghrib prayer whenever the sun would fall behind the horizon. And what is being referred to here is the top of the sun, the top of the sun, the top portion of the disk of the sun, whenever it goes behind the horizon entirely, at this time the Maghrib has begun. Not when it goes behind the buildings, not when it goes behind the trees, not when it goes behind the mountains, or if there's something blocking the view of the horizon, but the time for Maghrib, whenever the disk of the sun entirely goes behind the horizon. At this time, it is called Al-Ghurub. Al-Ghurub. Wa-gharabat al-shams. And the sun, yani ghabat. The sun has gone behind the horizon entirely. At this time, the Maghrib, it begins. At this time, the Maghrib, it begins. Likewise, this narration, it clarifies that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well would pray the Maghrib at its earliest time. وَالْمَغْرِبَ إِذَا وَجَبَتْ. And as soon as the sun would fall behind the horizon, he would establish the prayer sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is an indication that he would hasten to perform the Maghrib as well at its earliest time. But just as has preceded that meaning that he would hasten to perform the prayer at its earliest time, not meaning that he would make the adhan of Maghrib at the sunset and then make the Iqama right away afterwards, but rather he would make the adhan of the Maghrib and then give a portion of time likewise for the people to prepare and also to pray to rak'ah, which has been encouraged by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before Maghrib, and which is some of the evidences that indicate that there's a brief period of time between the adhan and the Iqama of Maghrib. Although what has been narrated and clarified from the ulama, the people of knowledge, that the period between the adhan and the iqama of Maghrib is shorter than the period of the adhan and the iqama between the other prayers. So, for example, the period in our day, the ulama, they mention approximately 10 minutes and the likes like this, 5-10 minutes and the likes like this is considered hastening the prayer. After the adhan, after the sun has set entirely and the adhan is made, to give 5-10 minutes in this manner like this, this is still considered hastening the prayer. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would pray the Maghrib إذا وجبت, يعني إذا وجبت الشمس, أي سقطت, if it fell behind the horizon, whenever the sun falls behind the horizon. along with giving the time, a brief amount of time. It's been narrated in Sahih Muslim from the Hadith of Anas radiyallahu anhu that he said, "Kunna nusalli rak'atayn ba'da ghurub ash-shams qabla salat al-maghrib," that we used to pray two rak'ah after the setting of the sun before the prayer of Maghrib. Naam, one of the narrator from the Tabi'een who is narrating from Anas, and who Anas is speaking to directly, radiyallahu anhu, his name is Mukhtar ibn Fulful. He said, rahimahullah, he asked Anas, "Akana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sallahuma," did the Prophet pray those two rak'ah, meaning the two rak'ah, after the setting of the sun, before the establishment of Salat al-Maghrib? And Anas, he says, radiyallahu anhu, قَالَ كَانَ يَرَانَا نُصَلِّهِمَا فَلَمْ يَأْمُرْنَا وَلَمْ يَنْهَنَا, that he used to see us praying these two rak'ah, and he did not prohibit us, and he did not command us to do that, nor did he prohibit us from that. So what is understood from here, that this is the affirmation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Anas understood, radiyallahu anhu, that this is permissible and allowed because they would perform this action in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would witness that, and he would not command them nor prohibit them. So this is called a sunnah taqririyah, that the Prophet, he affirmed them of that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so it is established that it is allowed. The ulama, they mentioned this to clarify that there is still a brief portion of time between the adhan and the iqama, although he would hasten sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to pray the maghrib. So whenever Jabir, he says, "Wal maghriba idha wajabat," and he would pray the maghrib whenever the sun falls behind the horizon, and he, under this, with this understanding, and he, with having enough time for the people to still prepare themselves and to still pray at least two rak'ah like this, and then to establish the prayer after that. And likewise, it has also been narrated in Sahih Bukhari from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mughaffal al-Muzani radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also commanded the companions to pray at that time. Naam. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Sallu qabla salat al-maghrib," that he said it three times. "Sallu qabla salat al-maghrib, sallu qabla salat al-maghrib," pray before the prayer of Maghrib, pray before salat al-maghrib. He said it three times sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah al-Muzani radiyallahu anhu, he says, and the third time, after the third time he said it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Liman sha'," for whoever wills, or for whoever would like to, or whoever wants to. And then he mentioned karahiyata and yattakhidaha an-nasu sunnatan, and he disliking that the people would consider this to be a sunnah, meaning from the rawatib. And it's a sunnah, and it's legislated, and something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged, but it's not from the rawatib, those sunnah, the sunnah prayers that are attached before and after some of the salawat, which are well known, their numbers, and inshallah we will discuss them in a bit of detail in the classes to come. But it is legislated to pray two rak'ah before the salat of Maghrib. And this is an indication that he would hasten to pray it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with leaving a brief amount of time. So the ulama, they mention about enough time for a person to make wudu and pray these two rak'ah, which is approximately 10 minutes and the likes like this. And then the Maghrib would be established. And then the Maghrib will be established. There's one more narration that we mentioned that clarifies this. Also from the hadith of Rafi' ibn Khadij, radiyallahu anhu, they said, "Kunna nusalli maghriba ma nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fayansarifu ahaduna wa innahu la yubsiru mawaqi'a nabarihi." This is another narration that clarifies that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would pray the Maghrib at its earliest time. Naam, so he said that we used to pray the Maghrib with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after that one of us would leave, and then he would shoot arrows, and they would practice shooting arrows, and one of them would be able to see where his arrows land at. So they would pray the Maghrib, and then after that they would go shoot the arrows and practice archery, and they would still be able to see the place where their arrows land. And this is how much light is still left after performing the Maghrib prayer, an indication that it was prayed in its earliest time. Naam, this hadith is muttafaqun alayhi. So this is the case. As for the Maghrib, when does it end? And when is the Maghrib over? We've seen when it begins, whenever the sun falls behind the horizon entirely. The Maghrib, it ends whenever the red portion of the sky, it goes away entirely. We'll see after Maghrib that the horizon, it will turn red. Sometimes you will see the white and then also the red. It has a shafiq in the horizon. And what is referred to here, and what we're talking about now, is that red color in the sky after Maghrib. Whenever that redness goes away from the horizon entirely, at this time the Isha has entered. At this time the Isha has entered. And there's a very famous narration with regards to the times of the prayer. And it's known as Hadith Jibril. Hadith Jibril fi awqat as-salat. The Hadith of Jibril with regards to the times of the prayer. And after the obligation of the prayer, and after the al-Isra wal-Miraj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the 10th year after the after coming as a messenger and prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the obligation of prayer was made upon him 5 times a day. And then after that, Jibril descended upon him and he prayed with him 2 times. The first day he prayed with him at the first of the time, and the second time he prayed with him at the last of the time, clarifying the times of the prayer for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this narration, it's mentioned فَصَلَّ عَلِيْشَاءَ حِينَ غَابَ الشَّفَقَ, that he prayed Alisha, yani Jibril عليه السلام, حِينَ غَابَ الشَّفَقَ, whenever the redness in the horizon went away. So the ulama, they mentioned at this time, whenever the redness in the horizon, it goes away entirely after Maghrib, at this time the Isha has begun. At this time the Isha has begun in the Maghrib, and the Maghrib is finished. So therefore the Maghrib, it continues from after the time the sun goes behind the horizon entirely, all the way until the redness in the sky is gone entirely. At that time the Isha has begun, and it's roughly from 1 hour or to 1.5 hours in this era, in this area like this, in the calculation of the time today. But a person, he can see it in the sky. And these times are determined from the position of the sun and the likes, and from the events that occur around us and the creation. And in reality, these are amazing events. And the fact that the sun rises and the darkness goes away entirely, and it goes away gently a little bit, that there's a ghalas, the time whenever the darkness is mixed with the light, and then slowly it goes away, and then the sun is rising and rising until it meets the peak of the sky, and then in the shade it goes away, and then the shade, it starts to come back. And these affairs are amazing affairs, signs from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. And a believer who is given success in his deen and in this life, he is a believer who contemplates and ponders over the affairs of the creation, remembering the greatness of the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that, the times of the prayer and how they occur with the position of the sun and the earth together. And likewise, we see in the affairs of the moon as well, and the likes with regards to identifying the months and identifying the days. And all of this is an indication that a believer should be awake, that a believer should be aware, that a believer should not be heedless of the affairs that are around him, and that these are great signs of the greatness of Allah. And these are signs of the majesty and the power and the authority of Allah. And these are signs that we are created like these creations, created by Allah. And also signs to remind us that we're returning to Allah. Therefore, you should establish the prayer at its proper time. Because that Creator who created you and created all of this creation, and He has put all His creation in these different times and different places and in these different situations, has made it obligatory for you to pray to Him. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَقْهُوتًا, that the prayer has been prescribed upon the believer and upon the believers at specific times. So it's a great honor to be a believer. And it's a great honor to pray and to prostrate before Allah Azza wa Jal. A believer should remember this. It's an honor. Not everybody gets to prostrate before Allah Azza wa Jal. Even on the day of resurrection, there will be people who were called to prostrate in this life, but they did not prostrate, and they will wish they could prostrate at that time, but they will not be able to prostrate at this time. Naam, كانوا يدعون سجودي وهم سالمون. They were called to make sujood whenever they were safe and sound. But on that day, they will not be able to prostrate. To prostrate to Allah Azza wa Jal is a favor from Him, is a blessing from Him. So establish the prayer, brother. Establish the prayer, sister, at its proper time and its proper manner. Give concern to this. Learning these rulings of the prayer and learning the times of the prayer, these are legislative rulings. This is a blessing and a favor from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is knowledge that is related to fulfilling the rites of Tawheed. Knowledge of the times of the prayer. Knowledge of the conditions of the prayer. Knowledge of that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.